Welcome, Craig.
Craig's here. Shane's here. Ryan's here.
Tony's here.
Hey, episode 75, TH Fantasy. Here we are, gentlemen.
Let's go.
Talking Elijah Moore.
And Treylon Burks. Who's going to be, I mean, who's honestly going to be starting for Tennessee next year?
It's Tannehill for one more year, I think.
Yeah.
It's Derrick Henry. He's just going to play Wildcat every play.
I mean, better chance of winning, I would say, right?
They can't trade him. No one's going to trade for him.
No,
unless they give him like a sixth.
Right. So we've got some stuff. We'll talk about some free agency. We got a new segment. But first and foremost, we got our 75s. So who wants to start this week?
I got a quick shout out.
Give me your shout out. Let's do a shout out.
Let's do a shout out to Mr. Doug Betters.
Okay.
All right. Defensive end number 75. Born in Lincoln, Nebraska. Actually went to high school in Arlington Heights. His family must have moved around a lot.
That's weird.
But he's part of the Killer Bees defense.
Oh.
That went to Super Bowl, 27 and 29?
The Killer Bees.
I hate Roman numerals.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, that empire fell for a reason, okay?
I'm saying.
In 1983, he recorded 16 sacks in 16 games, won the NFL Defensive Player of the Year award. Also named to the AFC Pro Bowl.
I didn't know this guy existed.
Yeah. Played 146 games, made 64 and a half career sacks, 46 and a half of them official, post 1981.
Sure.
One thing that I really liked about this guy is after football, he didn't go like crazy, like some guys do, and getting like businesses and stuff like that. You want to know what this guy did after he retired?
Not he metal affairs.
He moved to Montana and did exactly what I want to do after retire, and he's just a fly fishing guide now.
He's Huey Lewis in it.
Yeah,
that's where Huey did. That's what Huey did, man. He left L.A. or left San Francisco and went to Montana.
Hey, we were talking about that off air, but like touching grass is the way to live now.
If
you can unplug and just go be a feral animal, more power to you.
Listen to our podcast through ESP. No internet.
Just touch the trees. They'll tell you the story.
Shout out to Doug Betters.
Doug Betters, a good one. Shane, you said you had a short one, and mine is a shade under 3 full pages.
Holy shit. All right, so I was traveling this weekend. I worked a lot, and I was also, I don't know if I was sick or had a gnarly sinus infection or something, but like I went to the deep trenches again. I thought I would do like 1975 NBA draft, and I was just skipping through the fun names, and there's a lot of tragedy in that, so we're not going to talk about that, of people just dying tragic deaths who fade into obscurity.
Oh my God, for real?
Yeah, we're going into my world.
A cursed draft class?
It seemed like it, at least. Okay.
Do you have any examples, or you don't have it in front of you?
I don't know names off the top of my head, but a lot of homicides, suicides, and I was like, God. Yeah, this is rough. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So this is a little more fun. We're going back to my world of professional wrestling. For Marcel Gauthier, aka Sky Lolo, who was named Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Little Person Wrestler of the Year in 1975.
Okay.
In the time frame, they used a different word instead of little person, so we're going to addendum it to little person.
Sure.
Right. There's not too much because that era isn't really like covered in professional wrestling, especially like in that demographic of performer.
Sure.
But I was kind of honestly amazed that that demographic also had this specific audience and its own tier and championship. Because usually that kind of stuff is like a side attraction at wrestling shows. It's like one guy, whatever. But yeah, so Sky Lolo was born in Montreal, Quebec, Canada in 1928, and he wrestled from the 40s to the 80s. Before he put his boots on, he served in World War II, working in the tails of airplanes, fixing the rivets.
I mean,
so they found a way to use him and he could serve his country. So,
and that's so funny because my grandpa tried to enlist, and they rejected him because he was too skinny. And then after Pearl Harbor happened, they were like, come on down. but like, it's so funny that this dude is like getting in there, and my grandfather like, nah, sorry, nerd. Get the hell out of here.
Nah, he was 3'6", but he was jacked for 3'6".
Fuck yeah.
So one of Sky's claims to fame was being able to do a handstand without using his arms, only using his pristine noggin to balance himself. he was the inaugural National Wrestling Alliance Little Person Champion in Paris after winning the 30-man Battle Royal in 1949. He later won it in the 60s again. And another spectacle of his life is he and a wrestler called Little Beaver squared off in a match for Elizabeth II and King Farouk of Egypt.
Oh, man, my God. Little Beaver.
Little, yeah, there's a lot of names I'm like, man, that's a fun name, but not really appropriate in 2023.
Sure.
His final gimmick in WWF was he would challenge other little people wrestlers to beat him in a 2 out of 3 falls match for $100.
Give you $100.
Yeah, and then he was posthumously inducted into the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in 2002. So that is Sky Lolo, I-75.
That was great, but okay, look, I'm gonna say something, and I wonder, how do you do a 30 competitor battle royal with little wrestlers? I don't understand. Like, you have to go over the top rope. That would seem to be exceedingly difficult.
But it was 49. It was different. So they might have had different ropes orientated. Sure. You know what I mean? Sure. This is a post-World War II world, but a pre-Vince McMahon era. So
yeah, sure. Right.
I should have looked it up, but I didn't.
This is 80 years ago. Was it even rope?
Yeah. Yeah. It was actually, I think, like actual still cords, you know, cords wrapped in foam or whatever.
Not wire like it is now.
Ryan, what do you think? You want to go yours or should I do mine?
I whatever you want to do.
I'll go mine. Let's okay. Do mine. I want to do my 75. So okay. I did a few different things. I was looking at a bunch of different things for 75, but I decided the most interesting one was a bit of a stretch. So the 94 NFL season was the NFL's 75-year anniversary. So I was looking through it, and I was reminded of an old tradition the league used to have and fell into a rabbit hole. So we're going to start with the 1994 preseason. The league played several of those games in a series that was called the American Bowl, a number of preseason games that took place in other countries, so Europe, Japan, Mexico, Canada, whatever. This series went on from 86 to 2005. There were 13 games from 1950 to 1983 played on foreign soil. Usually they were NFL or AFL teams against CFL teams. I don't know how the rules worked. I don't know who's, like, home rules, you know what I mean?
This just seems like American, we're just trying to whip our dick out and establish dominance on foreign soil.
I'm saying, so right, so it was like the whole point was like, we are going to get this international audience to love pro football. So that rabbit hole took me to another one of the league's attempts to bring the game to new markets, NFL Europe. So that's what we're going to talk about today. NFL Europe was founded in 1989 and was titled the World League of American Football. It was founded in 89. Their first season was in 91 under that name. They changed it to just the World League in 92, dissolved after 92, and finally came back for a decade and was running from 95 to 05. So originally, the NFL wanted to start an international league called the IFL since Europe was starting to get into American football, but couldn't name it the IFL because Donald Trump held the patent because he wanted to start a league called the IFL that never came to fruition.
God, fuck this guy, bro. Really? Like, it's been like forever since he's been dicking over this country.
So they get the name, the World League of American Football, and they draft. So they drafted in February of 91. They went, every player was lumped into position categories, and they would draft, each team would go position by position. So everyone would get the number one pick at a different position, and they would just go from there. They had some experimental rules. They had the two-point conversion, which hadn't run in the NFL yet. Both teams having possession of the ball in overtime, and if the first team scored, the other team could score and still win by going for two. And then there were some rules that were like there to benefit the local markets. They required a player from Europe to play every down for both teams in every game, at least one player on each side. Most of the local players were naturally like punters and kickers, and so they threw in a little extra juice. This one's for you, Ryan. All field goals made over 50 yards were worth 4 points.
Oh my God. Why is that not a rule?
Justin Tucker.
Why would that not carry over to the NFL?
Right? I know. Justin Tucker would crush. So they also, this is something that the NFL didn't do until much later. They allowed for a defensive 2-point conversion, which players called the deuce.
Nice.
All right. So this part I did for you guys here. I have the list of the team names from the 91-92 season.
All these better be fun.
All right, here we go. So we've got the Barcelona Dragons.
Okay.
The Frankfurt Galaxy.
Okay.
The London Monarchs.
Okay.
On brand.
Isn't that a CFL team now? No.
No.
The Monarchs?
The Monarchs. You're thinking of the butterfly. The Montreal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We have the Montreal Machine.
Okay.
That's pretty good. I like that one.
The New York/New Jersey Knights. Decent, okay. Right? Ohio Glory.
All right.
I don't think any glory's ever come to Ohio.
The Orlando Thunder.
Okay.
The Raleigh Durham Seahawks.
I like that one.
The Birmingham Fire.
I think it's interesting, the Raleigh-Durham Seahawks. Raleigh's not even on the ocean. Why?
Oh, that's, dude.
That's
dude,
so weird.
The Birmingham Fire. Like, come on now.
Yeah, I think that's bad.
The Sacramento Surge. And my personal favorite, the San Antonio Riders.
Ooh.
That's a good one, right? I've been yearning for a really cool hat lately, and I think I'm going to go down this rabbit hole of IFL 92 hats because they're super limited edition.
I'm sure there's things that so this first season was terrible. TV ratings were awful. The league lost a ton of money. USA or whoever it was that was broadcasting the rights like lost money on broadcasting these games.
Really?
Yeah. The audience was huge for the games played in Europe, but the American ones, no one gave a shit. Obviously. So, and they played two seasons. So, after another year of low U.S. interest, but huge European interest, the league ceased operations in 92. So, in 95, it opened again as an exclusively European league with NFL ties. So, it was promoted as a minor league, and teams could send players from their own rosters over there and have like extra roster spots for European players, but this didn't happen very often. So, I do have the list of the team names from the 1995 to 2005 run, and they are, we have some familiars. The London Monarchs are back. The Frankfurt Galaxy stays. We have the Amsterdam Admirals.
Ooh,
I like that.
The Barcelona Dragons. The Berlin Thunder.
Okay.
The Cologne Centurions, right?
Come on, now. Yeah, Cologne, Germany, yeah.
Yeah, the Hamburg Sea Devils.
Oh, a lot of German teams.
The Rhine Fire.
Another German team. Or no, is that France?
No, that's...
Is that Germany?
Yeah. And the Scottish Claymores.
Ooh.
The Drew McIntyre's.
Scottish Claymores t-shirt.
There you go. So... The league operates at a deficit every single year and was losing the NFL $30 million a year running it. So they canned it, and they instead moved to the system we have now, which is throwing the Jaguars there every year and hoping football sticks.
Nice.
So the question is, why did it fail? Well, most of the stuff I read focused on a few major things. One, obviously the players aren't going to be as good as NFL players, and since teams know that player health is a short and random thing as it is, means like a developmental league going full contact isn't really going to help these guys stay healthy in the long run, right? And there was a major lack of consistency. So instead of eating the cost for a few years and building support, teams would move frequently while chasing rising attendance. So like some of the British teams were drawing less than like 8,000 people a game. So I think that's metric. So I don't know what that is in our measurements. But
it's when San Diego was in the Home Depot Stadium and we'd pull in like 1,000 people a game.
That's the exact same equivalent. So the constant moving didn't allow for fan bases to truly like adopt these teams, except as you already pointed out, in Germany, which fucking loves American football. However, like none of the other places really gave that much of a shit. Germany was the most popular, and Scotland it was the second most popular.
Hey, I'm looking on eBay right now. They have some of these jerseys. They're pretty sick looking. Like,
oh yeah, the designs are crazy.
Like, why? Like, America needs to get on this shit, dude. Because these are way cooler designs than some of the stuff that's out there.
So before I go, I have some notable NFL Europe alumni to get through. So here we go. John Kitna. All right. Terry Crews.
Okay. Like it.
And NFL punt return icon Dante Hall.
Ooh.
Yeah, right? David Akers.
Okay.
Super Bowl champion quarterback Brad Johnson, Tampa Bay.
Nice.
Also Super Bowl champion and terrifying human being James Harrison.
Wow.
Jake DeLome. A later in his career, William the Refrigerator Perry.
Damn.
And then we got a couple big ones to end it. Adam Vinatieri, NFL Europe.
What?
And Kurt Warner, NFL Europe.
Wow.
Can't do.
The 1999 NFL Europe Player of the Year and murderer, general overall piece of shit, Lawrence Phillips, also played in NFL Europe. Hilariously, though, Phillips was the starting running back on the Frankfurt Galaxy team that won their championship, and the coach of that team, his name was Dick Curl.
Excellent.
So that's my 75, the American Bowl and NFL Europe.
You think he's got Peyronie's disease?
It's a serious affliction that affects many penis havers. All right, Ryan, what do you got for 75?
Right. Let's round it out with we're at a solid number, 75. So I figured we'd do someone from the Hall of Fame. All right.
Okay.
Let's go with Mr. Gino Marchetti. Offensive tackle and defensive end.
A two-way man.
Born in 1926. He played for the Dallas Texans and the Baltimore Colts.
Okay.
Was inducted in the Hall of Fame in 1972. You'll like this, Tony. And it's kind of interesting how every time we like pick guys, there's always like some type of connection. Like, I have a connection now with Shane's because he mentioned World War II. So this guy was actually a machine gunner in the Battle of the Bulge.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woof.
So like he joined the army like out of high school. And yeah, he fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's quoted as, when he was reflecting on his World War II experience, he called it life-altering and, quote, if I had not gone to the army, what probably would have happened to me is I would have gone to one of the factories, worked until I was 65, retired, and that would have been my life. He said he gave him the discipline he needed in his life to accomplish a lot of the things he did.
Is this era of human being fields, there was like 15 human beings on the planet? Because like once they entered the military, they just did fucking everything, dude. Like,
yeah,
I'll,
right?
I'll work in a factory. I'll play three sports. I'll sell metal stairs.
Right. He's a two-time NFL champion, 1958 and 1959, nine-time first-team All-Pro. He went to 11 Pro Bowls. He was the NFL sack leader in 1960.
Damn.
Obviously, that's unofficial.
Of course.
He's in the 1950s All-Decade team, the 75th anniversary All-Time team, the Baltimore Ravens Ring of Honor. I guess he ended up playing his jersey. He wore 75 predominantly, but at the end of his career, he wore 89. And the Indianapolis Colts, I'm guessing because they used to be the Baltimore Colts, they retired number 89.
Really?
That's a man of impact.
That's what I'm it says sure. here.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure there's an 89 on Baltimore right now.
Is there?
Yeah, is Mark Andrews?
Maybe they meant to say Baltimore Colts, but it definitely says Indianapolis Colts number 89 retired.
Oh, Colts are 89? Okay, that makes more sense. I was going to say, Mark Andrews, heard of him? Seen this? Heard about this?
So during his rookie season, he played for the Dallas Texans, who used to be the Yanks, which then became which then became the Baltimore Colts in 53. In 1954, he got moved to left offensive tackle, a position that says he hated, but he admitted that it taught him how to beat a blocker.
Okay,
and, sure. And so the following year, he took his skills and he returned to defensive end in 55. This guy's
a glass half full kind of guy, and I appreciate him.
Right.
Right.
Sid Gilman, an ex-LA Rams head coach, said Marchetti's stellar play. He was the greatest player in football. It's a waste of time to run around this guy's end. It's a lost play. You don't even bother trying it.
Damn.
His Hall of Fame teammate, Art Donovan, said that for his first couple of years with the Colts, Gino Marchetti was our enforcer. Gino was a tough kid from the ghetto. An Antioch recruiter had spotted the big bulk at the racetrack one day and brought him along as part of the head coaching job or something. He just was a general ass kicker in this game.
He sounds terrifying.
Yeah, he's got 2 touchdowns. Only had 1 interception. And I don't have the stat on his sacks because those are unofficial. But like I said, in 1960, he was the NFL sack leader.
He's got the fucking juice.
Right.
Gino, hey.
Another guy that went into the restaurant industry after he died, or not after he died, after he retired.
Haunted Wendy's.
He joined one of several of his teammates, including Alan Ameche, and opened a fast food restaurant. The business grew, began to franchise, and would eventually become known as Gino's Hamburgers. I'd never heard of it. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Gino's. Mm-mm. It was a successful mid-Atlantic regional fast food chain and had 313 company-owned locations when they were sold to Marriott International in 1982.
Damn.
Which abandoned that name in favor of their Roy Rogers restaurants. So Gino's Burgers became Roy Rogers.
Damn.
Yep.
Italian erasure. That's bullshit. Those are my people.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the matter with you?
This guy's actually in the Italian-American Hall of Fame.
Damn, he's one of the most Italians to ever American.
Yeah. He lived a pretty long life. He was born in 1926. He lived till 2019.
Wow. Damn. Good for him.
Yeah. Just fun fact, his grandson, Keith Carter, was a tight end for UCLA and won a Super Bowl as a coach for the Seattle Seahawks.
Legacy.
Sometimes you're just born to the right family, man.
Right?
Yeah. No shit.
So that's Mr. Badass Gino Marchetti.
That was a good one.
Gino Tortellini. Good stuff. All right. So let's take a break and then let's talk some free agents and talk shit about a mock and then call it a day.
Sure.
Sounds good to me.
And goodbye.
Today, we're making something called a Kentucky Hot Brown. Add a tablespoon of brown cheddar cheese. Grated nut. Traditional hot brown. Don't be shy. a Kentucky hot brown.
And we're back.
We did it. We're here. We're back in, and we got some free agency stuff.
There's a lot that happened this week.
Yeah, because this is the skill position, guys, right? Now everyone's got their linemen taken care of.
Let's get the one out of the way. We were just talking about Dalton Schultz going down to the Boneyard in Houston.
Man, I think I'm going to have to start fading every tight end that you like, because as soon as you put a flag in somebody, they get someone else that comes in their turf.
But like, wait, what happened to Quitoriano?
Isn't Schultz on Houston? Yeah.
Yeah, but Quitoriano.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, he's Quitoriano, but he's gonna have a good mentorship with Dalton Schultz. I'm calling it right now. Quitoriano's gonna have at least 2 touchdowns this year.
100%.
Who's the biggest fantasy winner this week in terms of a player? Is Damian Harris to Buffalo?
I that one. Yeah,
I think it might be Dak, because Ronald Jones is just good luck, and I think Dallas is going to win a Super Bowl now because he was on the championship Bucks, he was on the championship Chiefs, and now he's at Dallas.
Just keep it going.
We still don't know about Zeke, right?
He's gone.
Floating. He's just floating.
I know he's floating, but he was like, here's 3 teams I want to go to. I'm like, yeah, but you don't get to pick, man.
And none of them said, hey, we want you. Literally, the Bengals said, our team is good. And then the Jets and Breece Hall tweeted out, I think we're good, bro.
Yeah. The Jets did make some moves, though. What do you think about this Elijah Moore deal, huh?
If I'm a Jets fan and I'm still alive, I'm finding the tallest building.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, what happened to his ego and his chemistry with the coaches where they just want to get rid of him?
Because he told Mike LaFleur to go fuck himself. And I was like, you know what, dude, good for you. Tell your boss he sucks shit because the guy above you is ass. And he's not actually a good quarterback. Like, good for you for self-advocating. I felt that I was like the only person in the room talking my Elijah Moore shit when he was going off.
I like it, man. Like, hey, you drafted me high. You want me to be a key player in this offense. I know I'm really fucking good. Get me the ball.
Yep.
And
I think as a business decision, I think that was the best possible thing, even though like I want to throw batteries at the Browns organization. Like,
yeah,
I think this is Elijah Moore's path to success.
That's an interesting way to think about it. Yeah. I think initially when I saw it, I'm like, the fucking Browns, are you serious?
But I think they're going to have a real big revitalization of that offense because like last year, like they were waiting for Deshaun to come back and they're kind of running a safe. Like, this is how we used to run the offense with Chubb and Jacoby. Just don't fuck it up. Just don't make sure the draft pick is not super high. And then when Watson got implemented, it was kind of like a warming up period. And like, I think that last game I was reading a stat is like their passing percentages were like 80% compared to like their other ones, where a lot of analysts are saying like, fade the running back room this year because it's going to become a pass heavy offense. And
with Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
I really like Austin Hooper to Vegas, especially after Foster Moreau went out. He's going to be out.
That's so sad.
What was it? Yeah. Hodgkin's lymphoma or something?
Yeah.
It is Hodgkin's.
Oh, it's not non Hodgkin's. It's straight Hodgkin's.
Straight Hodgkin's. So obviously, you know, hoping for the best for the him and his family. But like,
Vegas is cursed straight up
for fantasy. Like, right. Austin Hooper makes sense, man. And, and like, you know, I was thinking about some of these other tight end moves that hopped out. Like, am I crazy for thinking that Mike Gesicki in New England is going to play closer to what me might identify as like the Jacoby Myers role and just be a huge slot?
No, I think it's going to be very beneficial, and Belichick's going to do something to make him an integral part of that offense, I think.
How many Mike Gesicki touchdown gritties are we going to see this year?
I think he scores 4 or 5 touchdowns. I really think.
Yeah.
I was going to say 5. 5 is my my number this year for Mike Gesicki.
We've had a lot of 1 year deals this week. We have one 3 year deal, and that's strangely Adam Thielen to Carolina. He's CJ Stroud's number one.
He's not going to play all 3 years, but
I feel it's basically a 1 year contract, isn't it?
Yes.
But that'll be an interesting thing because he'll have some knowledge to spit at CJ Stroud.
DJ Chark there too. Oh, no.
Right? Yeah. DJ Chark's in Carolina now too. Yeah. The Terrace Marshall buy window is now completely gone.
It just feels like you're talking about Tony, like in a salary cap draft when you have $17 left and you have five positions you have to fill and you just start throwing single dollars at players just to fill your depth. This is what Carolina feels like they're doing of, okay, we need to give somebody to our number one overall pick. So here's Adam Thielen. Here's DJ Chark. Who's their tight end now?
It was Hayden Hurst, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they're just, they're doing kind of what the Bears did last year, right? It's like, here's some guys. They're not going to do a lot for you.
Yeah.
But help's coming. Unfortunately, they don't have a first round pick next year. So,
oops.
So no pun intended, but, guess who's going to be doing all the jet sweeps for the Jets?
Oh, I'm not going to lie to you. If Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets, Mecole Hardman gets real interesting.
I think so too.
Aaron Rodgers has an outstanding deep ball. And MVS is the king of cardio, right? Just like run. Just run. Just run. So I still am on the fence. I still think there's a chance Aaron Rodgers either retires or stays with the Packers this upcoming year.
If it's not done by now, like there's some issue that is going to cause it not to happen. And I think
at this point, it's gotta be more than just money, right?
I think it's pick compensation. I'm pretty sure Green Bay wants like a first out of it.
And they're not going to get a first out of it.
No, especially with that contract. Honestly, I hate to change the subject, but I think Brandon Cooks at Dallas, like I know we're all like on our Brandon Cooks, like every year he's consistent, but like I think that opens up that offense a lot.
Yep. I'm also pretty sure Brandon Cooks is trying to set the NFL record for most teams played on.
I think he is, right?
Right. He's on track.
Most times traded.
But that I too, think, you know, I think that's a good move for both sides. Makes perfect sense. Dallas is a contender. I like it.
He's gonna be a good compliment to CD.
They needed somebody else.
Yeah. Gallup really fizzled out.
Yeah, he crapped the bed.
Well, I don't know if he was fully healthy, right? Because he tore that ACL pretty late in the season in 2021, and then missed. I think he came back probably like before he's ready. I mean, I think he'll be good next year, but his role will be diminished.
Yeah.
Favorite of the pod, Mac Hollins to Atlanta. Anybody? Mac Hollins?
He's just as good as like McKenzie to Indianapolis.
He was only relevant last year because Hunter Renfrow was hurt and what's his face? Darren Waller, current Giant.
Yeah.
Any love for Devin Singletary to Houston to do anything for anybody?
I still think they draft a guy.
Me too.
Yeah, they're most likely. It's just a buffer for them.
And then, of course, we can't get out of here without mentioning the acquisition that's going to keep Lamar Jackson in Baltimore and happy, Nelson Agholor. Let me tell you about the Ravens and how much they put into their receiving core. Nelson Agholor.
This is like when your boss tells you, I'm catering today, and they bring you like one Subway sandwich, and you have to split it between five people.
Right?
And it's tuna.
Oh, God.
No, it's one of those things where they order some good, catering, but only the bosses get first crack at it.
Yeah.
I enjoy a good tuna fish sandwich, but... not Subway.
Ew. Man, like, I just like they I understand money's a limitation there, but it's like you could do anything. Even DJ Chark is at least like an attempt to be like, he can be good.
And like the history of it, it's like I don't even have, there was like a list of Baltimore Ravens receiver transactions, and it was fucking sad. It was fucking sad. Like,
yeah, their number two is Devin Duvernay.
You're exactly, and you're telling right. me that like you're not throwing to Arizona, like we will give you a third round pick or a fourth round pick for DeAndre Hopkins right now.
Once they traded Hollywood, they just gave up, dude.
They did. They managed to luck into one of the best tight ends in football, a true wide receiver one, and Rashad Bateman, who I think is a good wide receiver two, and they've just fucking Devin Duvernay'd and all who I can't even.
There's God. Another guy. I know. I have him on one of my like
deep DeMarcus Robinson.
Teams. Yeah.
DeMarcus Robinson. Those are your receivers, huh? And Lamar Jackson is going to be thrilled to play for your organization. Garbage. So there was a PFF mock draft. And you guys want to take a look and see if PFF thinks Baltimore is going to improve the receiving room?
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely, I want to look at it, but I don't believe they will. That's my answer to that question.
So let's take a look. We see some familiar names at the top. We see Stroud to Carolina. Shane, you know, both you and I were super high on Stroud this year. What do you think? Is he your QB1?
In Dynasty, I think I've become full sicko mode where if Anthony Richardson gets top 10, I'm going him 101. And just because if he fails, I can just reroll him next year.
Ryan, we have here on our list Stroud at 1 to Carolina, Bryce Young at 2 to Houston, Anthony Richardson at 4 to Indy, and Will Levis at 7 to Las Vegas. Who's your quarterback, your first quarterback off the board in Dynasty rookie drafts?
I'm going Stroud.
You going Stroud?
Yeah.
I think I'm going Stroud too. Shane, I love the swing for the fences. I totally do. And him going to Indy's great. You know, them hiring the former Eagles offensive coordinator.
He's got weapons. It's like, even if he doesn't play for a year, like I feel it sucks that he's going to have to play. If you take him at 4 overall, I feel like you're kind of setting the precedent that he's going to start. But if he sits on my taxi squad for a year, like my team's already bad enough to have 101, or I lucked into some taco trading me their pick, right? Like it doesn't hurt me, and I can get 101 next year and just try again.
Sure. And Caleb would be mighty fine. And then what if Richardson hits, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then I have Cam Newton 2.0.
I think that I'm aiming for 104s in this draft because I think I can get Bryce Young at 104.
I mean, if he falls in the real NFL draft, like he's going to crumble down fantasy drafts. Like if he hits like 107, like if he goes to Vegas, like I think he hits like 106
in Dynasty. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think he makes it past 2. I think Bryce to Houston is as close to a lock as we can get.
Yeah.
Ryan, what do you think about the Raiders with Will Levis at quarterback?
I don't know. I think the Raiders are just in a tough spot and they're going to be left with whatever's left with those top 4 guys.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks for them.
I feel bad because I don't wish ill on any player. I want them to all get paid. But if one player has to go to die in Vegas for fantasy purposes, I'm glad it's Will Levis.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, right.
So we have our first non-quarterback off the board. The first receiver off the board at pick 20 to Seattle, Jackson Smith and Jigba. What do you guys think? What do you think about JSN in Seattle?
I love it.
I like it, but it's gonna be weird because Geno Smith is still their quarterback. So,
well, it's a dynasty play. I'm less thrilled for it in redraft than I am in Dynasty.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
I mean, he takes a Tyler Lockett role, right?
Right. But, yeah. You know, I think he's in the slot for year one.
Yeah.
100%. And like, you're just not going to get the volume that you would want for a redraft pick. But for Dynasty, because Lockett, you got to assume if they go receiver in the first round, Lockett's only got one last year with the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he might have a little bit longer, though. I know he re-upped his contract and he might do like a team-friendly deal because they're competitive, right? And he plays very safe. I know everybody was dunking on him last year because as soon as he catches the ball, he goes down. But it's like, dude, live the fight another day. Good for you. Yeah. You can play four more years.
Hell yeah. Turns out, by the way, Baltimore does address receiver in this PFF mock draft, and they go the hot name right now, Zay Flowers, which is funny because he actually gets drafted twice on this mock draft.
Oopsies.
He goes to New York as well.
Let me actually pull up the one. This is Ray GQ's.
Think
the community did it, yeah.
Because Zay Flowers is trending right now, boys.
Dude, this is very validating for me in the process, but to see all my guys from like, yo, my comment in January of if Zay Flowers had a legitimate quarterback, he'd be a top three wide receiver this year. And now everyone's like, hey, shit's there.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Is it crazy that Darnell Washington is the first tight end?
That doesn't surprise me at all, just based on his. Like, think about Cincinnati. Like, Cincinnati, I think he fits perfectly in. Like, they need O-line help. They need another receiving option in the end zone. And I don't think he's the best tight end in the class. I think for his type of play, I think he fits perfectly in that spot.
I would agree with that. Actually, I've been feeling Washington to Green Bay a lot more because
now that they got rid of Tonyan.
And I think that his type of play fits better what Green Bay wants out of the tight end position in the LaFleur offense.
Mm-hmm.
100%. So, like, because as you guys know, tight end was never a big part of that offense. Even the year that Robert Tonyan broke out, it wasn't because he caught a lot of passes. It was because he caught a shitload of touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
He had like 12 touchdowns on like 35 catches.
That's the Dawson Knox 2021 season.
Right. Cool. Exactly.
So Baltimore in the mock, Baltimore goes quarter or cornerback. So
okay.
Flowers does go to the Giants.
Yeah. Never mind. Our second receiver off the board then is Quentin Johnson to Minnesota. As a Bears fan, I love it because that means they're not addressing their horrible defense. I do kind of like Quentin Johnson in Minnesota, though.
It's a sexy pick, man. I think that's one of his best landing spots. Like, we meme on Kirk for being like mid, but like he's stable, right? And they need another offensive weapon to pair with Justin Jefferson, and I think it opens both of them up. And plus, like, if you're running in tandem with Justin Jefferson, the best wide receiver in the NFL, like, you're gonna learn to not just catch with your pads.
And you're also gonna get a lot of one-on-one coverage because defenses are gonna shift their whole shit to stop Justin Jefferson, rightfully so.
Yeah, and QJ's a fucking yak guy, so it's just going to be wide open for him to just go 30 yards on each reception.
Right. So, yeah, we just said Darnell Washington to Cincy. Zay Flowers to New York, though. I can't get enough of this. I like this a lot.
They have to address wide receiver.
Yeah.
Even if, like, Juan Daddy's not there, or Juan Daddy is there, but...
Sterling Shepard, Isaiah Hodgins, like just a lot of smaller guys. And Zay Flowers, like he's not much bigger, but he can play the outside and he can win on the outside. So I think he goes out there and he's primarily an outside guy. But honestly, man, like fuck the defense if you're the Giants. Just give me weapons. Let's play some fucking Madden. Just get me like, you know, 10 skill position guys, throw them out there in random spots and make magic happen.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like that's the way their offense is structured, right? All these players are either on tags or shortened deals, right? So, like, Saquon's probably gone next year, so it's like you might as well just, like you said, just go glass cannon, fuck it.
Just get a bunch of fucking offense. Here it is, Ryan. Bijan Robinson, Dallas Cowboys, round one, pick 26. The Robert the fucking Ronald Jones dream is dead.
I like it. I mean, you're getting rid of Zeke.
You know that volume is going to be there because Tony Pollard is not going to be the main guy.
It's the fucking move. Like you said, like if Dallas has to be looking at its division right now and being like, well, either we blow it up or we make a serious run.
Right. You either got to dismantle it and deal with the fact that Philly's just going to be the best team in your division for a while.
And the Giants are ascending.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. Like, but I have a bad feeling about that because Daniel Jones just got paid. So what what statistically happens after a quarterback gets paid? It's the Joe Flacco, you know, scenario.
I hope you're wrong.
I have apprehensions about Philly this year because they are having so many issues with their defensive players leaving. Like they've lost like six players.
Yep.
Their O-line's like depreciating. Like Miles Sanders is gone. Like unless they like crush the draft again, like I don't know what happens at the division because they had one of the easier schedules last year too.
They do, but they also luckily they have picks 10 and 30 in this draft. And
AJ if Brown, y'all recall, Jalen Hurts.
Well, if and, you recall, and Devonta Smith. If you recall last year, they drafted, oh shit, what's his name? N'Kobe Dean. N'Kobe Dean was the guy that was going to be a first round pick last year that tore his pec during combine pro day or combine like workouts. And he like was being eased back as the season progressed. And so he never got to start, but he was a first round talent. So like they have guys in the system and I think they go defense at 10 and 30 and let's hope for the best. I mean, luckily they're in the NFC and the NFC, as we all know, sucks ass. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm pumped for Philly, but let's Kansas City, Dalton Kincaid, our second tight end off the board. We are in Michael Mayer free fall.
I know. I think I'd rather see Michael Mayer to Kansas City just to get some tutelage under Kelsey, but I'm all for a tight end going to Kansas City. Any one of these top five tight ends. Yeah.
I think he ends up playing like boundary receiver more often than not, if he's got the size for it. Like
I'd like that. That'd be awesome.
They have Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, and
MVS, right?
I think MVS was only on a 1-year deal. But they don't, their wide receiver room is
well then nothing. So then I retract that statement. Why isn't Kansas City going with a wideout then in the first round?
Because some dumb team is gonna trade their number one overall pick for a sixth rounder like the Giants did.
Also possible.
They'll get somebody. They know how to make nothing into something for sure. But like, okay, so Dalton Kincaid, does he become your tight end one then based on situation and like kind of the blob of tight end that we have of like good?
Nope. I think he becomes the number one just in terms of landing in Kansas City. And the opportunities, they're obviously going to start fading Noah Gray. That other guy, Blake Snell, I don't even know if he's going to be there next year.
Hey, I'm telling you still, because pick 33, so two picks later, Houston gets Michael Mayer.
Another dagger to Quitoriano.
But like, dude, I'm telling you, Houston goes Bryce Young. And Michael Mayer, they have Tunsil. Their running back room is fine. It's passable. Like, I'm in, man. John Mechie's there. Like, sure, Nico Collins is not great, but Nico Collins is an NFL wide receiver.
He's a Tyler Boyd, right? He does his job.
Right. He's an outside guy. He runs his routes. He does Tyler Boyd things on the outside. It just exists. Like, are you still missing wide receiver one? Yeah, sure. But you have a pretty good start, so to speak. Yeah. And then what's stopping them from going back and getting Hopkins again?
Yeah. And like at the same time too, it's like, it could be like the T-Law phenomenon of like, you can use your new fresh quarterback and just build the safety valve at the tight end, right? You don't have to make complex throws. You don't have to run a complex offense yet. Just let him get in the system, get him a yak guy like Michael Mayer and just get 8 yard chunk plays and just let Dameon Pierce run angry.
Yep. I like it, man. I think Houston's a lot of the assets on Houston are going to be buy low. I mean, you're reuniting Bryce Young with John Metchie. That's good news for me. I like that.
I'm excited.
Right. Exactly. Who is it? Houston Texans. Arizona on this PFF mock with the definition of a luxury pick at 34, Jahmyr Gibbs.
I like it because we're seeing in the free agency that the running back free agency class is just so deep that we're going to see a weird dynasty aspect of these guys are going to fall because these players are going to get picked later outside of the upper echelon because there's just an abundance of players, right? So we're going to see probably Tucker going like the fourth or the fifth just because it's just there's so many people, and I think Jahmyr Gibbs can fill that role with just James Conner being there, and he could have a 2021 style of Chase Edmonds path, you know what I mean, of just check it down, let him work his magic. And
Arizona's defense is so bad that I wonder if going running back is prudent, but for fantasy
there's a good chance they have 101 next year, right? Like their team is so bad and Kyler's probably not going to play most of this year. So like,
right.
Rumblings. Good.
I think, oh, sorry. No, I was going to move on.
No, that's it. I'm talking 2024 shit already. So, we can stay current.
So I don't think this is going to happen now that Vegas has signed two tight ends, but they have Luke Musgrave going to the Raiders, Josh Downs staying in Carolina to run with the Panthers. I like a lot, actually.
Yeah, I like that too.
I'm
not a Josh Downs guy, but I think consistency is what Stroud is going to need, and he needs a good, consistent wide receiver who can play all over the field.
I don't know about how I feel about Jordan Addison in Cleveland. It makes sense.
I don't think they take him because the Elijah Moore trade.
But how fun would that be if it was Amari Cooper, Jordan Addison, Elijah Moore?
No, we're supposed to hate the Browns.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. David Bell, RIP. We hardly knew ye. Anthony Schwartz, get off the roster. Leave.
Right.
Jalen Hyatt at 53 to the Chargers.
It's going to make me do so much dumb shit.
That's so exciting.
You have to he's a first round pick at that point. Just based on the offense, like they have nobody else, or not nobody else, but the decline of that wide receiver room is like, all right, we're approaching 0 hour here. We're going to have to do something.
All right, guys, I got a question for you then. You have pick, I don't know, say 111, 112. And you have Darnell Washington, who was taken 24th overall by the Cincinnati Bengals. Or you have Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver, taken 53 overall by the Chargers. Who do you take?
I don't know.
I'll let Ryan go first. I already know my answer.
Honestly, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't care.
It's Hyatt, right?
I'm smashing that pick. No hesitation.
Okay.
But personally, that's just me, though. I don't care where Darnell Washington gets drafted in the first round or high. You know what I mean? I don't want to spend a first round pick on him. I don't feel like he has the skill set to give me the ROI on that first round draft capital for the way he plays.
I like Hyatt there too. I've been adamant in my stance that Darnell Washington is a much better real life football player than fantasy football.
100%
person. Hendon Hooker to the Lions at 55. I like that a lot. I think that's great fucking play. And then let's just go over a couple of bigger ones here for the later rounds. You got Zach Charbonnet to Chicago at 6.
Oh my God. If Zach Charbonnet comes to the Bears, like I said earlier in the podcast, I got to watch a decent amount of UCLA football. last year just because they were on really late, and when I would get home from work and stuff like that, and all their bowl games were generally late because they play on the West Coast. It would be awesome if he became a Chicago Bear.
He plays similar to Monty, right?
A lot bigger than Monty, but
yeah, Monty's more of a one cut, like a shifty guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I know Charbonnet's the single juke, and then he barrel rolls you.
Charbonnet's like after his one cut, he's not as worried about elusiveness as he is like, momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas like Montgomery was a big momentum and angles guy.
Charbonnet seems like he's more like a Derrick Henry guy where he's just going to try and find that hole and then just get all those yards after the first hit, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think about Tajay Spears to Houston? Really just loading up on offense this draft.
That's what you do with a new guy, right? Yeah. You're drafting your franchise guy. You got to give him weapons. You got to load him up to be successful, especially with the running back room. Like, especially if you're drafting a smaller quarterback, right? Take the load off of him.
Now, if I'm going to fantasy draft this real life draft, there's a player that I would have rather seen Houston get at pick 72 or 73 instead of Tajay Spears. And that's someone who's not drafted on this list. And that's Marvin Mims.
That's right. They need wide receiver, dude. Like,
I know.
You have enough of the running back room. It's fine.
There's no Sean Tucker on here.
Well, he didn't do his pro day either.
I know.
Our RB4 is tumbling down the draft pool because he keeps getting hurt.
Hey, man, you know what? I'm fine with it. It's cool. Like, I watched that dude and I was like, this guy fucking rules. And honestly, man, if he's doing private workouts with teams, it doesn't matter because like, yo, this dude's one of the best backs in the draft.
He'll get a shot. Sure. All right, what do you think about A-Chain to Tampa Bay?
To Tampa Bay
at 62.
That's two thumbs down from me, dog.
That O-line is atrocious now, right?
Their offensive line was ass last year too. It like couldn't run block at all.
He's just gonna get swallowed up every play.
Like I think that. When me and Ryan were doing the gambling podcast with Waleed, or the gambling show with Waleed, he was always like, no matter what, bet the under on rushing yards for Tampa Bay running backs. And it wasn't because he hated Lenny or Rashad White. It was because Tampa Bay's offensive line is terrible.
Yeah.
So I like Sam Laporta to Green Bay. I'm not going to lie. I like that a lot.
Yeah. If of all the tight ends, yeah, I think he's probably the best fit, you know, Iowa alumnus.
Chase Brown to Buffalo.
They're going to get another another running back. Our savior, James Cook, will not carry the load for that offense. No, they need somebody else. Right. Also, Tucker Kraft to the Jags.
Yeah, if there's a rookie tight end that's going to Jacksonville, you might as well just right Ryan's third round pick on it right now.
They might be a second round pick, man, honestly. Because for our process, right, like it's a full step of like tape, combine, draft capital, gut, right, where it's like there's dudes on here like Tyler Scott, Parker Washington, Michael Wilson, who some of these guys I've never even heard of.
Me neither.
And I hate to say draft capital matters, but some of these guys, I'm just going to not pick, right? Like, well, sorry.
I think about, like, Tyquan Thornton, Velus Jones, Eric Gray for San Francisco. Like, these guys that got cap, and you're like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. And so, like, what we'll end up doing, at least what I end up wanting to do, I think this is what Ryan, a big part of Ryan's process too, is like after the draft, finding those guys and like doing the same process evaluation that we do beforehand.
That's what I was thinking too.
But like, it's hard because last year, a lot of the time, my opinion was like colored by who they got taken by before I even started tape.
Yeah.
So like Tyquan Thornton, I'm like, yeah, but like, he's going to New England.
Yeah.
There will be some guys. This is where Ryan finds the tight ends he falls in love with. Is like, Ryan doesn't care about the tight ends that get drafted until it's like round six. He's like, all right.
Because they're free.
Right? Yeah. These are your guys.
And a lot of those guys that fall to the bottom end up with some of the greatest playing opportunities, you know,
sure.
because they're not going to teams in a rebuild. They're going to teams that are like already established really good offenses,
yeah,
and they can just get involved right away.
Plus, right. I think a lot of the time, too, with tight end, I think it's just an unsexy position, right? There's not a lot of highlights for those types of guys because they're not, like, the Ferrari. So I think people just, like, psychologically don't want to draft them because they don't want to spend a one or two round pick on them because it's just not sexy, right? Like, even though you can have a set-and-forget player like Michael Mayer, if you could spend, like, an early second hand on him, like a 204, it doesn't feel good. But if you can have a locked and loaded position every week of a dude who's going to give you 8 to 15 points every week, perfect utilization of that pick.
Right. What more do you want? With low, usually, I mean, low variance, right? Like, if you have a top 10 tight end, he's going to be a top 10 tight end for a while, barring injury or major, like, trade, yep, or whatever. Like, TJ Hockenson had, like, a down season, but otherwise he's been a top 10 tight end since he came into the league.
Well, this was his best season, right?
He was just not, he wasn't catching touchdowns.
Yeah. But I mean, like, he was catching like 9 passes a game though.
Right. Yeah. And so it's one of those things where you think about how long can I rely on this asset? I got to tell you, man, if you're asking me which asset is going to still have value in 5 years, I'm taking Michael Mayer over Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's a big consensus that I'm hearing across from fantasy analysts is how the running back is being evaluated in Dynasty going forward. Like, this might be the bubble of, we learn you don't trade for running backs anymore. You just draft them and you use them like NFL teams and just put them through the grinder. And then as soon as they're done with them, you're done with them, right? Like, that's just, instead of trading 3 first round picks for Jonathan Taylor 2 years ago, you just draft him at 104 and just say, all right, bro, you're staying on my team until you don't play anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you'll shuffle through waivers for whatever Melvin Gordon or, you know, Ezekiel Elliott is.
Can get you 9 points that week in week 14 when you need to make the playoffs.
Right.
And I think that's why I'm just all in on if AR goes top 10, if like, that 101 pick, like, you're bad for a reason. So, like, just swing, right? Like, okay, I understand, like, Bijan, but it's like, are you going to really get the utilization of that player who potentially could next year take you out of the 101 again or a higher end pick because he wins you? Or if you're playing like a point average scoring, him putting up 20 points on average of game, like, that could potentially skew your team out of like your actual true position in the league, right?
Correct.
So, you know what I mean? If like,
yeah,
if a court, like one of my teams, I had Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, and they stunk it up when I drafted them in the startup, got me 101 again. And next year it's like, okay, you just gotta let them bake. Like, I'm being rewarded for being patient with these players, where running back is such a volatile position of value now, where it's like, do you really want to spend that pick of 101 when your team's already bad enough on this position that's already being shown by the real NFL that they don't value it anymore?
Right. I'm in a 10 team super flex dynasty that Walker from FA started last summer, and I have 101, but I also have Mac Jones and Kenny Pickett as my quarterbacks.
So, yeah, so like, you're probably going quarterback.
I'm probably going Richardson if he's top 4. Like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, sure, I have, like, man, I got receivers. My 3 starting receivers are Jalen Waddle, Jamar Chase, and Drake London. Like, yeah. I'm good.
Yeah. You're fine. Next 8 years, you're good.
If I get Anthony Richardson and he doesn't do well in his first year, then I get 101 next year, and I get Caleb Williams. Like,
yeah, you just pull it back.
This team is ready to whoop ass. So, yeah, I think the high-risk play makes a lot of sense. And since I know nobody from FA listens to this podcast, I can just openly talk about my strategy.
Well, you have 101, right? So it's like, either someone's going to pay a king's ransom or you're just taking the pick, right? That was my experience last year.
I started talking to the person with 102 and I'm like, hey, you know what would you give me on top of 102 spot? I was like, what do you want for Bijan basically? And so we're kind of talking about stuff, but I don't want to trade the pick before or like before actually, the draft.
Right? Yeah. No, I'm the same way.
Because like, what if Anthony Richardson does a Malik Willis, you know, like what if everyone's like, nah, this dude actually is just he fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It was fun. We were flirting for a while, but like, it's now it's time to put the ring on and you're like, I'm having second thoughts.
Yeah. That roster, that body's nice, but yeah, I can't commit.
Right. So, I think that's good for 75. Let's meet again next week. You guys,
we have our new segment.
Wait a minute. It's been like a little over an hour, so I think my gummy's starting to kick in.
Yes. You're right. I'm foolish. What a fool believes. We're having a conversation recently, and Ryan needed to have a point clarified upon because he didn't quite understand what was being said. So he said, pardon my gummy. And in that moment, a segment was born.
That's right.
So go ahead, Ryan.
Now that my gummy sense is like tingling a little bit, like I got a bold prediction.
All right, here we go.
Aaron Rodgers to Tampa Bay.
Doubt.
I had an Aaron Rodgers to Jason one, but I think your strain's a lot different than my strain because mine was just gonna be like the Jets don't make the playoffs.
With Aaron Rodgers?
Yes, with Aaron Rodgers.
Ryan, do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers make the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers?
That is correct.
Because so we have one Rodgers playoffs to the Bucs.
Can you imagine Rodgers throwing to Evans and Godwin? Oh my God.
Yo, you can't slander Baker Mayfield like that, though.
Baker's there to back up Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
Aaron Rodgers is there to back up Baker Mayfield.
Dude, Baker Mayfield and pick 20 for Aaron Rodgers, who says no.
Right.
He's interesting. Tony, what's your pardon my gummy take?
My pardon my gummy take for this week is I wanted to say Derek Carr, top 10 quarterback in fantasy, but for next year, obviously. But I'm going to amend that. Derek Carr, top 7 quarterback for fantasy next year.
Oh shit. I'm all for that. If he can get some shit done with Olave, oh my God.
Well, the mock you posted, or we were talking about, they have Tank Dell in the third round to New Orleans. So another weapon.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm liking Derek Carr right now. I don't know why I'm feeling kind of like, you know how like Ryan, you don't spend a lot of time on Twitter because.
But didn't we learn? But didn't we learn a lot of lessons about Derek Carr last year?
No, we learned our lessons about Josh McDaniels last year.
Yeah, that's true. We were all like, oh my God, the Raiders are going to be awesome. They have Devontae Adams. This is going to be the greatest year in Carr's career.
And then everyone got hurt, and they got Josh McDaniels.
Listen, you got to be like Derek Carr. Give up to Jesus, all right? Just have faith.
I'm ready, dude. I'm
believe in the man. Believe in syndrome.
Send for the man, Derek Carr. So your 75 was Jets get Rodgers, don't make the playoffs. 75 gummy. Ryan's 75 gummy is that
old move.
The Buccaneers. The Buccaneers. Yeah, this is the galaxy brain take. The Buccaneers trade for Aaron Rodgers and make the playoffs.
Yep.
And mine is Derek Carr's a top 7 fantasy quarterback. Points per game in the year of our Lord 2023.
I can dig it.
What a segment. That was a great segment, too. So, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week for 76. Happy almost April. We're about a month away from the draft.
Holy shit, let's go.
What date is the draft?
26th, 27th.
Oh, yes. No, we're out almost a month ago.
Yeah. Time's not real. All right, see you next week.
Take care.
See ya.
haunted Wendy's.